Glory to God. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Glory to God. I want to talk to you about your heart. And specifically, ask you a question. Where is your heart? And what kind of heart do you have? Very interesting. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower to start out with. And Jesus said this. He said, concerning this, I think it was in Matthew's gospel, he said, if you don't understand this, you won't get anything. Right? I mean, that's my paraphrase. But if you don't understand this parable, you'll never understand any parable. I thought that was kind of a shocking thing because, you know, there's some things I understand, some things I don't. Sometimes I get things and then other times I get other things later, right? I mean, it's not always the same. But let's look at this and I'll kind of go into that and explain what I'm talking about. Verse 1 says, as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said to him, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the apostles, the opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign when these things will be fulfilled. Have you ever noticed that that's what everybody says all the time? Lord, when's the end going to be? Is it going to be? What's that? Well, I'm in Matthew. You know what? I'm in the wrong one. I'm reading Mark. Thank you. Thank you. I thought that was odd. I was going to preach on it anyway. Yeah, I was going to preach on it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because I'd have just kept going. That's not where I wanted to be. Hallelujah. That's embarrassing. God's good. Hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to see him. And he got into a boat, and this is much better, and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed seed. Some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, and some on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root in them, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. First of all, have anybody ever planted something that you wanted some fruit out of? And isn't it disappointing when you don't get much? Right? You've got this tomato plant and it's getting big and it's you know, you got the leaves and everything. You're waiting for August or whenever they come ripe so that you can just get them, and you get like two or three. You go, oh, this is disappointing. First of all, we want fruit, but the other thing is that we want a lot of fruit. But did you know that there are many things that go into whether that fruit, that plant is going to produce or not? Right? What kind of ground you got? And is it the right soil? Is it the right pH? Is it being watered properly? Is it, and is it being pruned properly? Are you doing what you're supposed to do to get the most out of that plant? And Jesus isn't talking about vegetables or fruits. He's talking about us. And he wants us to have good fruit. I said he wants us to have good fruit. Good fruit. Let's go on. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, said to them, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those that it's been given to know. Right? I don't want to be one of those that, not so much. I want to be one of those that God says, listen, I want to share everything about the mystery with you, about everything that's hidden. I want it to be revealed to you. But we're going to see here very clearly that not everybody is a candidate for that. And I'm talking about born again Christians, people that love God, people that not everybody is a candidate for what God wants for them. But I want to be a candidate so that my fruit is produced and that it remains. How about you? Amen. Glory to God. And maybe we haven't been as fruitful as we can be, right? Maybe we haven't been as fruitful as we should be. But God is going to help us to become more fruitful. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 12 says, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and to him who has abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And what's he talking about? He's talking about the mysteries, the very thing that God wants to produce in you. If you'll begin to produce, you'll produce more. If you begin to produce, you'll produce more. That's the natural law. But if you're not producing, even the things that you have the potential to produce, he'll give it to somebody else to produce because you're not producing. I don't want you taking my fruit. Just saying, I don't want you taking my fruit. So I'm going to go after it. I don't know about you, but I'm going after it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, but not perceive. For the hearts of his people have grown dull, and the ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. This is an incredible picture. First of all, he wants everybody to see, but people's hearts won't allow them to see. People's positions won't let them get everything that God has for them. It's not like God is saying, well, I want to give to these people, but not to these people. What God is saying, I want to give to everybody, but not everybody is open to what I want to give to them. See, if we're not open to God with our hearts, then our hearts can't receive what he has for us. Right? But I want my heart to be ready to receive what he has for me. Glory to God. But there's going to be some digging in my heart. There's going to be some pruning in my heart. There's going to be some weeding in my heart to get my heart to the place where it can produce the fruit that it's designed to produce. Look at this, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, which was sown in his heart. This is the one who is the seed by the wayside. In other words, you come, but you just don't comprehend what God is saying. I don't want to be that person. You know, sometimes you have to stay with something until you get it. What do I mean by that? You know, remember when you were learning your times tables? Now, there's not a bunch of kids in here, so I don't know if they even do that anymore. But remember the flashcards and the, you know, in grade school, 3 times 3 is 9 and 4 times, you know, on and on. But you go over them and 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 over them. Well, at the beginning, you go, I don't get it. But if you stayed with it long enough, all of a sudden something would click. But many of us who God's trying to show something that's hidden that He wants to reveal in us, when we don't stick with it, we're not able to produce what He wants us to produce. I think, have you ever had a scripture where God speaks to you in your devotions and there's a chapter or something that, I don't know about you, but he says, read that again. Okay, I'll read that again. Read that again. Okay, I'll read that again. Read that again. Okay, what are you trying to say? See, I'm not in a position where I can understand it, so He wants me to keep going over it and over it and over it until I can understand it. See, God wants you to get it. Let me say that again. God wants you to get it. He doesn't want just me to get it. He wants us to get it. So we're not going to be those. Verse 20 says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. He has no root in himself. He has no root in himself. Right? That's the kind of ground that says, you know, I like this, but I'm not willing to stick with it for the long term. I don't want to do what's necessary for me to have it produced for the roots to go down in it. I'm the one that says, I want the fruit today when I planted yesterday. Right? And God's saying, that's not the way it works. You're not going to get anything. Yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. If God shows you something and he begins to establish you in it, there's going to be persecution. Amen. Glory to God. There's going to be something that comes up to try to take that away from you. And it's not always somebody from the outside. Sometimes it's even voices in your own head that's trying to get you off of what God has for you. And God is saying, listen, you need to stick with it even when the voices are screaming against it. Your faith has to be in what He said. And you need to stand on that. You need to continue to grow in that and not give up, not quit. Come on, do we have any quitters in the house? If you're a quitter, you're never going to produce. Glory to God. I want some root in myself. Dig deep, Lord, dig deep. Now, he who received seed among the thorns is one who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful. That's incredible to me. There's people that hear the word and they start to grow in the word, but the cares of this world begin to choke the word. That means that there's fruit on the vine and there's fruit that's potentially there, but that vine that wraps itself around it begins to take all the nutrients that are in the soil and take it to itself, and it begins to choke the word, so the word will not produce in you. You got to make up your mind once and for all that God's word is final authority in your life and nothing else will take its place, because I'm not going to let anything choke out what God has for me. Come on, I'm not going to do it. I it may be radical. It may be seem like it's antisocial, or it's not politically correct or whatever. But I'm sticking with it because I want to produce the fruit that God has for me. But he who receives the seed on good ground is the one who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit, and it produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. You know, I was just doing a little bit of math where this is concerned. And especially because I'm one who sows the word every Sunday, every Wednesday, whenever I get a chance. Renita's probably 7 days a week. But I'm sowing the word all the time. I'm preaching all the time. And it can be frustrating when you preach the word and it doesn't seem like it's getting in. And you can take it upon yourself to say, am I not doing a job that is well enough for people to receive? But according to this, only 25% of the people are going to get it and produce from it. Only 25%. We have to ask ourselves, am I going to be one of the 25%? And the answer is yes. 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 We're going to buck that system and say, no, I want to produce, but I can only produce if my heart is at the place where I'm hearing the Word of God and I'm allowing the Word of God to change me. I was thinking about this, and just quickly go to John 15, and I'll make sure that I get the right one. John 15. The Gospel of John in the 15th chapter. It's right after the 14th chapter. And hallelujah. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. It's really interesting. We're supposed to produce fruit, but we're out on a limb. Right? Have you ever noticed that the tomato plants aren't in the vine? Aren't in the stalk? They're out on the limbs of the plant, right? That's where we are. But every nutrient comes from the soil, comes up through the ground, through that, and gets to them. Have you ever noticed? If somebody comes along with a weed whacker and knocks that plant off, oops is right. It's much worse than oops. But that will no longer produce. Right? But watch. So Jesus is our key to producing because He's the vine. It's your relationship with Jesus and walking with Him and walking in Him on a consistent daily basis without giving up, without quitting, without stopping. That's the absolute source of everything you need to produce fruit. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. But every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. If we're going to produce the fruit that God would have us to produce, first of all, we have to stay in a relationship with Jesus that's personal, that's ongoing, that's constant, that's daily, that's hourly, that's minute by minute. But the second thing that we have to do is we have to let the Word of God prune us. You see, you can't whack off the stem or the stalk. But there is a way that if you pinch certain things off in the plant where it's going to produce, early in the season it will produce more. Now, I'm going to tell you something about myself that I probably shouldn't go there, but I will. When before Christ, I used to grow crops. Yeah, I used to grow crops. They were illegal, and they were in the basement and had grow lights and all of those things. But if you just let the plants grow without pinching them, they'd have a crop, but it wouldn't be very much. But the more that you pinch them in the right place, the smaller the plant would be and the more it would produce. God wants to pinch you in the right place so that you produce more. Right? But you have to... What does that look like? You know, you're throwing a temper tantrum, and he's saying, stop it. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. You're saying it's not fair, God. And he said, where in my word did I ever say it would be fair? Right? But God, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. And he's saying, wait a minute. This isn't between, you know, you and them. It's between me and you. So it's like at those points where the Spirit of God or the Word of God is trying to shape us or change us, we have to allow it to do it. Why? Because we want to produce fruit. How many have figured out that you don't know it all? See, there's some hands that didn't raise. I want you to know that you don't know it all. Right? That none of us have it all together, but God wants to reveal His Word to us so that we can produce more. If God is trying to form you to love somebody that's unlovable, it's so that you can produce more. It may be uncomfortable doing it. You don't like it, but God is saying, do it anyway. Right? Maybe God is asking you to speak to somebody that you think, I don't know if I want to speak to them. He's trying to prune you to say this isn't about you, but if you'll do it in spite of how uncomfortable it is, then maybe He can use you to get to them. Right? Let's get it straight. The fruit that He's talking about is eternal life that passes through you to somebody else. Right? Yeah, He's going to bless us. He blesses us with peace, joy, long-suffering, all of that. That's the fruit of the Spirit, and that's awesome. But really, the fruit that God is really wanting to deal with us about is us having an eternal effect on somebody else. Right? Look, I could be a rich man and have money and give to people and bless them and their life on earth be easier, but not preach to them the Word of God and they end up in hell because nobody shared the Word with them. Right? The fruit that I want is eternal fruit. And my heart has to be at the place where God is being allowed to use me to produce what He wants to be produced. Come on, how many want to be more efficient in the things of God? How many want to be used more in the things of God? Well, there's the natural and the supernatural things that go along with that. There's the anointing that you grow in, but there's also personal discipline that has to happen in order for you to be where you need to be. It's like, well, God's called me to preach. Well, okay, how much studying are you doing? Well, you know, I'm just moved by the Spirit. Well, that's great, and God can use you that way, but how much time are you spending with the Spirit, in the Spirit? Well, you know, I'm anointed, and so I can just get up any time and preach. And well, that's okay, but how much of your life have you laid down for the call which He gave to you? Are you a soldier, or are you a standby? Right? Are you one that endures, or are you one that just, you know, I like it when it's going good, but if it's not going good, I'm out of here. See, and at this time, we've got to make a decision, because I really believe that things may get a lot less comfortable for believers. I think that the signs of that are all around us, that they could come and say, well, you know, if you really believe the Bible and are preaching the Bible and teaching the Bible, then that's a hate book. They're saying it right now, that this is a book full of hate. When the truth is, it's a book full of love. Right? And love corrects. Love doesn't placate. Right? So, but we've got to come to the determination that God, even if persecution comes, I'm going to stand. But watch this. I don't need to stand to be right. I need to stand that the righteousness of God can come through me. But I've got to be willing to be pruned. I have to be willing to be pruned. Jesus made this statement. We're talking about our heart. He was talking about our religious folks, but he said, look at it. He said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of a man that defiles the man. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? In Proverbs, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit, right? Fruit. We'll eat its fruit. We have to be determined to be saying what Jesus said. We have to determine in our hearts that I want to produce good fruit. So in my heart, I have to put into my heart what Jesus has said, what the Word has said about me and about my feelings and about my, you know, come on. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, whether it's positive or whether it's negative, God, whatever you say is right, and that's what I need to put into my heart. Why? Because when I do that, out of my mouth will come the right thing instead of my opinion, instead of the bitterness that's in there, instead of the hurt that's in there, instead of the disappointment that's in there, instead of the abuse that's in there. Why? Because I've allowed God to soften and quicken and condition my heart to what His Word says. Come on, are you with me? Go to Proverbs chapter 13. So your mouth and what comes out of your mouth is a good indicator of where your heart is. And that can be used to show you where you need to change so that you can produce more fruit. Proverbs chapter 13. It's amazing what the Proverbs has to say about your mouth and about words. Listen to this, verse 1. It says, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to a rebuke. A wise person will listen when somebody speaks to them a word of correction. A wise person doesn't like it, just like you don't like it. But if you're going to allow God to change you, then you have to allow God to use anybody He wants to correct you. You have to even allow your wife to correct you. And God has used Renita mightily. There was one day somebody got offended by something I said or something I did. It's hard to believe, I know. It's just really hard to believe. But it happened. And I said to Renita, we were talking about it, I said, I didn't mean to offend them. And she so lovingly, you know, she just supportive, and she said, well, it doesn't matter whether you meant to or not. You offended them. And so what I had to do was deal with that with my heart and do what the Word says about when you offend somebody. But if I would have just said, woman, submit. Right? Or you know, I'm the head of this house, bless God. Who are you to listen, God should be able to use anybody to offend us. I mean, to straighten us out. Even our kids. I remember my kids when they were small, there were a few times where they'd come up, but Dad, you said, or Dad, and they were right. And I had to repent to my kids because I don't want to be the scoffer who doesn't listen to a rebuke. You want to be pruned, you have to listen to the wisdom that God sends to you, and it doesn't matter who He sends it through. I've worked for bosses that weren't very diplomatic, let me just say it that way, when they reproved you. And like all of us, when you have somebody coming at you aggressively, you want to rear your back up and go, come on, but, you know, come on. And resist the correction. But I found that if I let my heart be where it needs to be, that God can use even somebody with a wrong attitude to correct me to be the right place. So, and the whole objective is so that I can produce fruit. Because God's dealing with my heart. Yeah, even a donkey. So I qualify. Now listen to this, verse 2. It says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. What is coming out of your mouth? What is the fruit of your mouth? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Are you speaking what God says or are you speaking what you want? Are you speaking faith or are you speaking doubt? Are you telling yourself and everybody around you, this is what God has said? Glory to God. That's what I'm going to believe and stand on. Glory to God. Look at... It's so good. It's so good. I want you to know that God is concerned with what's coming out of your mouth because it's an indicator of what's in your heart. Is anger coming out of your heart, out of your mouth? It's an indicator that there's hurt in your heart that He wants to heal so that that anger doesn't come out anymore. Is there resentment coming out of your mouth? It's because there's bitterness in your heart. And God wants to do some digging in that soil to get that bitterness out so that you can produce fruit that's lasting. Come on. Are we going to be people who allow God to dig deep within us so that we can be used by God to produce great things? Hallelujah. How many want great things? How many want just a couple of tomatoes? That's fine. Just give me a couple and I'll be satisfied with that. No, I want so much that people are affected forever. And watch this. You might think that you're insignificant. That you don't really count for much. As far as, you know, God using. You're not Billy Graham or you're not, you know, somebody else that's just getting thousands and thousands and thousands saved. But you're you and God wants you to produce where you are and you don't know the effect that you're having on everybody that's around you, good or bad. But I want you to know today that God wants to use you right where you're at to produce in Him. Incredibly, right now. And it's up to you to say, God, here's my heart. Whatever needs to be changed in my heart, God, do it. All of us have things in us that we know shouldn't be in us. All of us have things in us that we know shouldn't be in us. Right? But the reality is, what are we doing about it? God is the only one who can, but wants to heal your broken heart so that those things are gone. Right. He wants to paint a picture of you, in you, that can produce fruit. He wants you to be whole so that you can portray wholeness. He wants to love you so much that you can love the unlovable. But the key to that is opening our hearts so that He can change us to be who He wants us to be. Anybody open for that today? And I'm not talking about, come to me, I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong with you so that you can change that. But what I am saying is open your heart to the Holy Spirit that He can do something and quit allowing your sense of correctness to keep you from God's correctness. Right? Right? Did you want to? Real quick, come on. Yeah, but you got to do it on a mic so that or all the people at home just hear nothing.
So it's been spoken about our words. It's been over and over again, heart, our lives. You know what? You're the one who chooses.
Yeah.
You're the one who changes. You're the one who makes the step to eat something different. You're the one who makes a step. And then He goes, oh, I love you and I'll help you with that. You're the one. So in our words, words are so powerful, right? You know what? The imprint of God is on every single person in this nation, in creation. Yeah. His imprint's on that. So when you speak against your brother and sister or yourself, you're actually speaking against God.
Come on.
Where's your heart in that? Where's the reality of that? You know, He wants to trust us with His power and His love to change this world into the newness of Jerusalem. So lay it down. What does it look like? It looks different for everyone else. Let the fire and the glory and the pruning come. Embrace it. Yeah, it's hard to embrace it. It's hard to embrace the things and the people that we lost. But you know what? They're in heaven.
Yeah.
You know? So we're embracing them. There's a cloud of witnesses around us. We're embracing it. But our words change everything. Our thoughts, where your thoughts and your heart is an expression of where you are at today.
Amen.
So how much of the Word is in that manifesting? Let the power of God change you. Welcome, Holy Spirit. You say it with your mouth, but then we walk out. We're always in church.
Yeah.
Church is wherever we go. You're the church. You're the church. You're the church. And the fire and the glory of God is in your heart.
Amen.
So let it flow.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Glory to God. It was interesting. I was listening, and I don't listen to him a lot, but something came up on Todd White. And he was saying, you know, he said, I was noticing that my persecution has lessened. So there must be something wrong. He said, people aren't coming at me as strong as they used to, so I must have backed off. So I'm full bore again. You know, I'm back out. I'm doing what God's called me to do. I'm at it because why? I want the fruit to be produced in me and through me. Listen, every one of us are fruit producers. Right? Now again, I believe that God wants us to be people who are concerned with souls. Not just and the most important thing is that souls would be taken out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. But also that souls would be healed emotionally, physically, in every way. And He wants us to be a part of that. When Pastor Bishop Frank was talking to me about those folks in his church that are starving, literally starving, those are souls that God put a burden on my heart, and that's why we're taking up the offerings, right? But everywhere we go, there are souls. Everybody that you look at is a soul. Everybody that you meet is a soul. And it's like, God, change my heart so that I can be used to produce fruit in the souls of the people that I meet. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? So today it's like, God, you know, we sing a song that's in the Psalms, Psalm 51. Change my heart, O God, make it ever new. Right? But that only comes when you're broken to the place where you... He was at a place where he was going, oh, God, I've been found out. He was so desperate about it, he said, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, my relationship with you is more important than anything. But at the end, he said, change my heart, O God. We've got to understand that God wants to dig in the soil of our hearts so that we can produce more. Are you up for that? Come on. Let's do that. Let's pray. Let's give Him our hearts right now. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we give You our hearts, Lord, and we just yield to You right now. We yield our spirits to You. We yield our hearts to You, Lord, and we just want God to be used by You to see people changed. And Lord, yes, we want to see that in this building, and we want to see that in the building that You have prepared for us, and we want to see that as we come together. But Lord, we want to see that everywhere we go. So whether it's the sales clerk at the store that we're going to, or Father, somebody that we're just meeting for the first time, or our family and friends that we've known for a long time, Lord, we just desire to be used by You to touch them in any way possible. And we're grateful for all of the fruit that You've allowed us to be a part of. And You get all the glory for anything that's ever been done of eternal value or worth, Lord. There's nothing that we could do in ourselves, but we're not in ourselves. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, for using us. But today, right now, I just want to invite You to speak to my heart. And speak to the hearts of everyone that's listening, whether they're in the room or at home. God, I just ask You to speak to our hearts. And we're asking You to change us. We're asking You to prune us. We're asking You, God, to help us produce more for Your kingdom. Thank You for revealing Yourself. Thank You for revealing who You are. Thank You for showing us who You've made us to be. And Lord, we just want to give You all of the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And Lord, I produce and I speak life over every person that's here. Lord, You've made them a blessing. You've made them the head and not the tail. You've made them above and not beneath. You've made them children of You, God. You have change them and transform them, God. And I thank You, Lord, that as we put on the new man, that we have life, we have peace, we have joy. And Father, we're going to produce for Your kingdom, and we give You all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Just bow your head for a minute. If you need prayer after service, we're going to pray for you. If I could have the worship team come up. But if you're here and your walk with the Lord is not where it needs to be, and you want to change that, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're listening to the service, we just invite you to do that. We just invite you to do that. So right now, everybody let's just pray this prayer of surrender to Him right now. Just repeat this after me. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I give You my heart. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that, Lord, He was risen from the dead by Your power. So with my mouth I believe. I confess, Lord, and I confess that You are Lord. And I just ask You to become Lord of my life. I lay myself down anew, fresh, right here. And I thank You, God, for changing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen.